Last week we talked a lot about doing inventory of our lives, where we start judging ourselves. Now, when I'm talking about judging ourselves, I'm not talking about condemning ourselves. We do too much of that, condemning ourselves, and that is not healthy. There's a difference in judging and condemning. Judging yourself is when you take an honest reflection of your life and you're willing to admit your faults. See, we talked about learning to be honest with yourself, and that's where honesty begins. You'll never be honest with God. You'll never be honest with other people until you're honest with yourself. So that takes reflection. That is you reflecting on your life, not in a condemning way, but in a way that's honestly looking at my life. Why do I keep crashing and burning? Why do I keep having this problem over and over and over? See, you can blame others or you can take responsibility. So when we learn to take responsibility for our actions and our choices and our circumstances, then guess what? We can start the recovery process. So one of the things that I know that we run into, there's actually two things that we run into as we do this inventory, is that we find out that there are people in our lives who have hurt us. And then we're going to find out that there are people in our lives that we have hurt. So the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about these two issues. And this week, we're going to talk about those who have hurt us. And we're going to talk about learning to forgive. Now, this is not easy stuff, okay? I sometimes get tickled at people. So all them non-denominational churches, they're always about feel good. Well, you're really going to feel good today, I'm telling you. Because this confronts you right where you live. Because a lot of Christians have people in their lives who have hurt them and they've not gotten over it. And because they have not gotten over it, they're really not healthy. See, Jesus says, I'm come that you might have life and life more abundantly. God wants you spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically healthy so you can be all that you're supposed to be for the kingdom. You're unique. You have a purpose. God put purpose in your heart. He put eternity in your heart. And God didn't invest all that into you for you to flitter it away. God expects us to be what He designed us to be. You know, there's nothing more disappointing in buying a product that is designed to do a particular function, and then it never does that function. We're disappointed in that. And why would God design us for glory, for reflection of who He is, and then not expect us to live up to that? There's a whole lot more to being a Christian than just being saved. And too many Christians are settling for just being saved. If that is your mentality, then you are living a very selfish lifestyle. God has given us a stewardship to use what He has put in our lives to reflect to the world who He is and what He's like. And that is our responsibility of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to reflect Him in the unique way that He has made us to do that. You know what? You don't have to stand behind a pulpit to do that. I don't know that we need, I'm sure we do. But we think, you know, calling, we're thinking we're supposed to be standing behind a pulpit, teaching a Sunday school class, doing this. No. Maybe it's just being salt and light in your particular area that you're working in your profession. There are so many ways that you can reflect God's glory. You know, your profession is not only about making money. If you think only about making money, then you're missing the whole deal. You have unique talents and abilities, and God has put those in your life, first of all, to reflect who He is to the world. And you will make money, and you will support your family. But when we see that as the ultimate, then we miss the boat. If you're a nurse, Your ultimate thing is to bring God glory through the way that you do your craft, the way that you take care of patients and treat people. I've shared this before that, you know, when we were in the hospital with my dad, those nurses were angels. They took care of us. They made, you know, they just treated us like family, and we felt like God used them to prepare us for a very difficult situation. But if all they were doing was making money, they wouldn't have been all of that they're supposed to be. See, listen to this. Somebody needs to hear this. We spend way too much time griping about our jobs and our circumstances, and when we're doing that, we're not being what we should be. Oh, that stuck somebody somewhere. I don't know. Okay, let me get Scripture, Ephesians chapter 4. I told you this is feel good. Ephesians 4:31. And we're talking today about unforgiveness, learning to forgive. Ephesians 4 says this: get rid of all bitterness. Say bitterness. Passion and anger. No more shouting or insults. No more hateful feelings of any sort. Instead, be kind and tender-hearted to one another. Now, if we stop there, you wouldn't get the full import. Then it says, and forgive one another. So you have to be kind and tender-hearted to the people that you have to forgive. Ooh. As God has forgiven you through Christ. Wow. Okay. So let's get into this. There's two aspects of this we're going to look at. We're going to look at why should I forgive? And number two, how can I forgive? Okay. This won't be a complete counseling session, but this is, I'm going to share some things with you on why you should forgive and how you can forgive. Have you ever had to forgive anybody? Boy, I have. And sometimes it's a bitter pill. It's not always easy, is it? So first of all, let's look at the why. Why do I need to forgive? I got to forgive those who have hurt me. Number one. And this is a big one, because God has forgiven me. Why should I forgive? Because God has forgiven me. We are called what? Christians. Christians means Christ-like. If I am holding resentment, anger, unforgiveness for someone who has hurt me, am I being Christian? Am I being Christ-like? Because this says that God has forgiven us. So if we don't forgive, are we being Christ-like? Hey, that's a question. This means yes. This means no. And the answer is no. But how many times do Christians hold grudges? And they think that they're justified in it, and they think that they're okay when they do that. You're not being Christian when you do that. I didn't say you weren't a Christian. I'm saying you're not being a Christian when you do that. So God has forgiven me. Colossians 3:13 says, be gentle and ready to forgive. Never, say never. Never hold grudges. Remember, the Lord forgave you. So you should forgive others. No, you must forgive others. See, those were not suggestions there. Those were pretty bold statements. So the first reason why I need to forgive is because God has forgiven me. See, when you remember how much God has forgiven you, it will help. It will make it easier for you to forgive others. I wonder, how many times in your life you've had to go to God after you've become a Christian and said, Father, I have sinned. Here is my sin. I ask you to forgive me. You have sinned since you've been a Christian, haven't you? That's pretty much all of us, isn't it? Okay? Now, are we advocating sin? No. But we have. We've missed it. And we've gone to God, and He forgives us. The Bible tells us that when we confess our sins, this is to believers, this is not to unbelievers. When we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful to do that. And so we need to forgive because we have been forgiven. And the second reason is because resentment doesn't work. See, when you hold unforgiveness in your heart, you will have resentment, you'll have anger, you'll have bitterness, you'll have strife. Those don't seem to be things that you need to hold in your heart. Does it? Does that sound like that would be healthy for you to have that in your heart? See, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, if you're full of hate, what's coming out your mouth? If you're full of strife, what's coming out your mouth? If you're full of resentment, what's coming out your mouth? See, your mouth is dominated by your heart. Your heart will express itself through your mouth. If your heart is full of love, what comes out? If your heart is full of joy, if your heart is full of peace, what comes out your mouth? See, you can know a person's heart. You don't have to judge them. You can just know a person's heart by listening to what they talk about. If they're always griping and complaining, if they're always moaning and groaning, let me tell you, there's not good things in their heart. There's just not good things in their heart. When you do that, that's not healthy. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And see, the second reason is because resentment doesn't work. It says in Job 5:2, to worry yourself to death with resentment would be a foolish, senseless thing to do. It's senseless to live that kind of lifestyle. And, you know, there's three things that we need to look at here where resentment is concerned. Number one, it's unreasonable. See, resentment causes people to do dumb things. Anybody watch the Three Stooges? Anybody like the Three Stooges? Certainly we do. That's something we do every Sunday afternoon at our house. I raised my sons on the Three Stooges. We used to watch them when they were kids, and we'd roll around on the floor and laugh. How many of you guys like the Three Stooges? All right. How many of you girls like the Three Stooges? Not very many. How many thinks the Three Stooges are dumb? You know why guys like the Three Stooges? Because they're guys. They do guy stuff. They act like guys. You know why women don't like the Three Stooges? Because they act like guys. Well, in one episode, Mo is always hitting Curly in the chest. So Curly gets this idea, and he straps dynamite to his chest. He says, I'll teach Mo a lesson. And that's a whole lot like resentment. So what's going to happen? He says, when Mo hits me in the chest, it'll blow his hand off. He doesn't realize what it will do to him. And a lot of times, resentment is that way. We'll do things out of resentment, thinking we're getting back at somebody. And who are we hurting? We're hurting ourselves. We're hurting ourselves. We may blow their hand off, but we blow our heart out. And that's not, it's unreasonable. The second thing, it's unhelpful. Job 18:4 says, "You're only hurting yourself with your anger. Will the earth be deserted because you're angry? Will God move mountains to satisfy you?" No. So it's unhelpful when we hold these things in our heart. See, it always hurt you more because you will be the miserable one. And you know, maybe the person who has hurt you doesn't care or didn't know that they hurt you. And here you are, miserable, and they're just walking around just free as a bird. And you think, that's not fair. Well, see, what we need to learn how to do is forgive. That's why we need to forgive, because it hurts us the most. See, you can't change what has happened. You won't correct the problem with your resentment. And it doesn't make you feel better. It makes you feel worse. See, unforgiveness is not helpful. And it's unhealthy too. It's just unhealthy. In fact, doctors tell us that many times these negative emotions will cause disease in your body. Not only that, but it causes many psychological and emotional problems too, because we don't properly deal with our hurts in our life. And we can make excuses, well, they don't deserve to be forgiven. Let me ask you a question. Do you think you deserve to be forgiven? I mean, how many times, any time that you sin against God? I can think of times before I became a Christian that I used His name in vain. I can think of lots of things in my life that I did that I don't deserve to be forgiven. But you know what? God loved me so much that He sent His Son that I might have life and that I might have forgiveness of sin. And He always forgives my sin. So no, we don't deserve to be forgiven. And God forgives us anyway. And if we're going to be like God, we have to recognize that maybe our enemies, the ones that hurt us, don't deserve to be forgiven, but we choose to forgive them anyway, because it's unhealthy to hold those things in our heart. Here's the third reason why we need to forgive. It's because that we in the future are going to need forgiveness. Have you sinned since you become a believer? Yes, you have. Will you probably sin again since you have been? After today, will you probably sin again? I guarantee you will. And so what? You're going to need forgiveness. Now, it tells us in Mark 11:25, it says, "When you stand and pray, forgive anything you may have against anyone, so that your Father in heaven will forgive the wrongs you have done." He goes on to say, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. And so when we refuse to forgive, we burn the bridge that we must cross. I heard read one time, and I love the quote, "When I refuse to forgive, it's like drinking rat poison and waiting for the rat to die." Who gets hurt if I drink the rat poison? Is it the rat? No, it's me. So when I refuse to forgive, it's like me drinking rat poison, waiting for the rat to die. He's not. It's going to kill me. So this is what this does. And if I expect to be forgiven, then I must be willing, not be willing, I must forgive those who have hurt me. Okay, how do I forgive? I want to give you about three things here that I believe that'll help you. This is not complete counseling, but this is some principles that will help you. Number one, reveal my hurt. I've got to admit it. I've got to let it out. I've got to be honest. There's that word honest again. If I'm going to get over it, then I'm going to have to admit my hurt. A lot of times we just foster it in our hearts. Somebody say to, no, I've forgiven. But we're hurting in our heart. We haven't. We have to admit it. Here we back again looking at this thing about examining our lives, being honest with ourselves. And like we said before, if you're not honest with yourself, you'll never be honest with God and you'll never be honest with other people. Honesty begins with self. Why am I so angry? It's because I have been hurt. It's because so-and-so has hurt me. So I have to reveal my hurt. Maybe your parents were the ones that forgave you. And we don't deal with it by saying, well, they just did the best they could do. What you're doing is you're covering up your anger. What you have to say is, no, they didn't do the best that they could do. Maybe they hurt you. Maybe they abused you. And you don't make excuses for that. You admit it. You come to grips with it. You don't try to cover it over. See, it's difficult to admit that people have hurt us. But listen, you have three options when it comes to this. You can repress it, you can suppress it, or you can confess it. The other two is burying. The confessing is getting it out. Getting it out into the open. Wouldn't you like to close that door in your life? That's good. No closure without disclosure. If you're going to have closure, you got to have disclosure. Okay, the second thing to do is to release my offender. You got to let him go. You got to stop holding on to the past. You got to stop holding on to the hurt. And you do this by forgiving them. And you say, well, now, you're going to tell us how to forgive. Let me say this, and I think this is important. Forgiveness begins with a decision, not a feeling. Most of the time, where these are concerned, feelings are tied to our flesh. They're fleshly. They're carnal in nature. Feelings are not great indicators of reality. See, you can have someone say to you, oh, I love you so much. And it makes you feel so good. And then they turn around. They take advantage of you. They stab you in the back. They cheat you out of something. And were your feelings indicators of reality? No. See, feelings can be manipulated. And people, there are masters of people who are manipulators with words to get people to feel good so that they can take advantage of them. There's a lot of, we call them players. There's a lot of players out there. They'll say what needs to be said to get what they want and make you feel good. Then they use you and abuse you and throw you away. And then you feel like crud. But you see, your feelings were manipulated because those are tied to the flesh. This is why we can't afford to trust feelings. But if I make a decision to do something, despite my feeling, that can be the beginning of the process of letting go of that hurt. You may not feel any better the moment that you decide to do it, but you stay with your decision. And let me say this, eventually the feeling will follow your choice. The feelings will come around. When did I forgive them? When I chose to forgive them. So maybe you forgive them and then these feelings rise up and you say, no, on September the 8th at 11:49 in the morning, I chose to forgive them, and I refuse to do anything other than forgive. I will not wallow in these feelings. I have forgiven. Now, how many times have we got to, how many times have we got to do this? How many times do we have to forgive? Peter asked that question to Jesus in Matthew, the 18th chapter and 21st verse. He says, Lord, if my brother keeps on sinning against me, how many times do I have to forgive him? Seven times? That seems like a lot, doesn't it? No, not seven times, answered Jesus, but 70 times seven. In other words, forgiveness is an ongoing lifestyle. Forgiveness is an ongoing lifestyle. So we have to make the decision to forgive and to live in forgiveness no matter what our feelings are. See, a lot of people think that the feelings are the reality, and it is not. It is not reality. If you live by feelings, your lifestyle is going to be up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. And that's going to open the door to so many bad, bad things. So I got to release my offender. Then, here's the third thing. I replace my hurt with God's peace. I replace my hurt with God's peace. See, Colossians 3:15 says that we have to allow God's peace to rule in our hearts. And when I'm able to release those people, then that gives place for God's peace to reign and to rule in my life. So that's kind of how we have to learn why to forgive and then how to forgive. Forgiveness is a choice that begins a process of letting go and for emotional healing to begin to take place in our life. You know, as I want my prayer team to come, as I begin to minister this message, and we've been talking about this. Do we have prayer team in here? Okay. Maybe we got some. Probably some people popped to your mind when we talked about healing and letting go and all of those kind of things. And that may be the Holy Spirit bringing people to your mind that you need to forgive. Maybe they've hurt you. And you buried that so deep, and that pain is so deep, that you even thinking about it, it's painful. But until you start dealing with it, you're never going to get over your pain. So if you need that healing today, a couple things. You don't really have to come up here. You can pray a prayer at your seat and release that person. But if you need prayer, maybe there's something that you just feel like you need somebody to pray with you with for about that, we have people right here. If you're here today and you've not made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, we always want to give opportunity for people to come to Christ. You need to have your sins forgiven. You need to have new life in Christ. You need a fresh start with God. Maybe you're here today and you just need a fresh start with God. You come up here and say, I need a fresh start with God. They'll find out if you're rededicating your life or if you need to be saved. And each one of these can pray that prayer with you here today. But no matter what your need is today, forgiveness, new life in Christ, we want to give you opportunity to come. So let's bow our heads. And you can come at any time. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you for forgiving us, first of all, and challenging us to forgive others. Because, Lord, we need that in our lives. We need to let go. We need to let people go so that we can be well and whole. God, I pray for those here today that might not know if they know you, that they might need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. Cause them to come today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.